planning commission, then Myers became city attorney, so.
Yeah.
Get our meeting started and stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Wise.
Present.
Ballinger.
Present.
Edmonds.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Truly.
Here. Have any public participation tonight? Nope. Need a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting, December the 6th.
I made that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Truly.
Yes. Have the clerk read the bills and payroll.
General Administration, $28,635.32. Police, $2,399.50. Fire, $2,296.54. Street, $8,210.16. Parks, $610.40. Public Health and Safety, $250. Garbage, $51.56. Cemetery, $536.88. Water Operations, $22,052.66. Sewer Operations, $403.09. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 1, $82,901.77. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 4, $83,243.80. Motor Fuel Tax Fund, $1,275.93. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $805,550.23.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve the bills and payroll.
I move to approve the bills and payroll.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Truly?
Yes. This evening we got a presentation before the council. You in charge of that?
Rachel's on Zoom.
So. Oh, she's on the Zoom?
Yep.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to share my screen. Oh, it says it's disabled screen sharing. Not sure if that can be changed.
All right now, Rachel.
Okay. Perfect. Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you see the screen now?
Yes.
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 Okay, great. So I just have a short presentation. Before I get into the presentation, I'll just introduce myself and talk a little bit about GovHR. So my name is Gags, and I've been the primary consultant on this project for the city, doing the classification and compensation study. I've worked for GovHR for about 3 years, and prior to working for GovHR, I spent 10 years in local government in Illinois, most recently as the city manager for the city of Princeton, Illinois, and then prior to that, worked in the Chicago suburbs for a couple of communities. It's been really fun getting to work on this project and getting to know Clinton, because it reminds me of Princeton, lots of similarities, especially when I worked in Princeton. We still had the city-owned hospital. We We had our own cemetery. We have our own electric, street, sewer. I actually still live in Princeton, so I'm still involved in a lot of that as well. But anyway, just a lot of similarities between the communities, you know, being smaller communities, but responsible for basically all these services that are common amongst other municipalities. So there's been a lot of similarities and things I can relate to working through this project. My primary focus at WHR is classification and compensation studies, and a lot with the smaller communities, just because I have that experience and I know sometimes they operate a little different than a larger community that has a ton of positions and employees. And then WHR primarily focuses on executive recruitment as well, classification and compensation studies, and then also temporary placements for temp employees in local governments. So I'm just going to kind of give a brief presentation tonight, about 10 or 15 minutes, to go over the process, what we've been doing, and I'll talk about the results, and then we'll have plenty of time for questions, but you're always welcome to stop and ask me questions as I go through it as well. So kind of an outline of what I'm going to go over. I'll talk about the scope of work, so what was all entailed and what we've been doing, the job evaluation, which really led to the classification plan for the city, and both of those focus on the internal equity, and then survey and the compensation plan. So that's the external equity or the market comparison. And then our recommendation on the implementation of the plan. And then how you can maintain the plan, the future administration. I think that's, you know, really important. We want to make sure that we give you a plan that can be maintained and you can use for many years to come. You won't have to come and do another study a couple years down the road. We want you to be able to have a plan that you can use for many, many years and update and maintain in-house. And then at the end, we can go over any questions you might have. So scope of work and process. Again, the first part was really the job evaluation and putting together a classification system. So one of the things that we did, WHR did our own study preparation. We had a project meeting with the city to kind of go over things. And then we determined comparable communities. We distributed materials and had employee meetings with the employees to go over the job evaluation that they all filled out. And then that ultimately led to the classification system. Then the second component, and I'll dive into each of these a little more in a second, is with the compensation analysis. It says benefits, but we just did compensation. And then right now we have the draft report, and this is the presentation. And then after any necessary changes are made, we will finalize the report. But then we're also available, even after the report is finalized, a year after the study, to go over any questions free of charge or make any changes. And I always say, I'm available after that for questions, you know, as well, too. Again, we want to make sure it's a plan that you can use for many years. So the first part of the study was that job evaluation. So all employees filled out the job analysis questionnaire, and we reviewed all of the positions, really focusing on these 9 job factors to establish internal equity. So looking at education, the required preparation and training that's needed to do the job, the work experience, the years of experience needed to perform the job, decision making and independent judgment, responsibility for policy development or implementation or interpretation of policies, planning of work, contact with others, that's both contact with residents or employees, internal and external contacts, work supervision, that's exercise, working conditions, and then use of technology or specialized equipment. So each position was evaluated based on those 9 criteria. All the employees completed a job analysis questionnaire that was supplied back to GovHR. We reviewed all of those and then also had virtual interviews with at least 1 employee in each position to kind of further go over what they filled out and learn more about their job. Again, coming from a smaller community where I worked, I know that oftentimes your job title might say one thing, but really what you're doing entails a lot of other things. Well, so it's important to do those interviews so we really understand each position within your city. So the classification plan was then put together based on internal equity, meaning how positions relate to one another in the city. And there were some instances where we recommended job title changes, and you'll see those in the report and on table one. And that really just reflects better what we felt what the position was doing and what we see in the market in terms of what the market calls a position that has those duties and responsibilities. So you'll see that again on table one. That's the classification plan. There's six grades in the plan, so all positions fall within one of those six grades. And component is the compensation survey. So in order to do that, one of the first things that we do is establish comparable communities. The full analysis of that is shown in Appendix B, but we use these eight criteria. We looked at equalized assessed valuation, per capita income, total expenditures, proximity, population, number of full-time employees, state sales tax, indebtedness, and property tax revenue. So the closer a community was to matching Clinton for each of these criteria, the more points they received. Thus, a community that receives the most points, we would determine to be the most comparable. So with that analysis, we then set a cutoff of 55 or more points. So meaning those that scored 55 or more points are the most comparable. And here is the list that you'll see ultimately that we determined to be comparable communities and that the survey was sent to. The ones shown here with an asterisk are the ones that responded to the survey. So overall, really good response rate. We always want to get 100%, but we never quite get that, but a really good response. So again, data is collected through the use of a survey. So we send out a survey. Actually, the city Clint sent out the survey. We put everything together to have the city send it out. We usually get a better response rate that way. And then all the responses come back to GovHR. We also make sure that we define each position. So within the survey, there's a short description of each position because maybe a community doesn't have the exact job title, but when they read that description, they might have a position that does those duties or tasks. So we want to make sure that we gather as much data as possible. Each position is defined to assist in gathering accurate data. All of the data that we receive, we then review and determine if it's appropriate for the position surveyed. So salary ranges are always the preferred method. However, oftentimes, smaller communities don't have ranges. They just provide actual salaries. And so in a lot of instances, we have to use the actual salaries, which is totally fine. The only reason for ranges are just because of actuals. There's other factors that go into that, such as, maybe the employee has been there 30 years and so it kind of throws off the average in terms of how much they're making. But either way, we can use actuals or ranges. And then the last point is that salary data gathered is the current market for the position. So it's current as of when we did the survey, which is in the last couple of months. So based on all that information, we then prepared a compensation plan. And the compensation rates were calculated at the 50th percentile of the salaries of the communities that we surveyed. And you'll see a summary of that on table two. So the pay ranges and the pay plans have also been calculated at the 50th percentile, and that is shown on table three. And we can pull those tables up after the presentation as well and walk through those. So overall, there are six compensation grades that have been established. So there's grades one through three. Each of those grades have a 35% range spread from minimum to maximum. So what that means is to get from the minimum of the range to the maximum, it's 35% different. And each grade has 10 steps. There's a 3.25% increase between each grade, and employees within those positions would advance through the grade with those step increases. Implementation of the plan. So we always recommend that anyone whose present compensation is below the minimum of the range for their position should be raised to the minimum as soon as possible. The compensation of employees whose present pay is within the range should be slotted into the new compensation plan at their current rate or at the closest step to their current rate or something like that. And then anyone who is above, however, I don't think this applies to anyone, but if it did, if someone was being paid above or outside of the range, we would never recommend a reduction. We would just say that they should be held at their current rate until the market catches up with where they are. We also have an optional longevity implementation that we be placing employees into the new step schedule based on their years of service. So this would bring everyone kind of current with the market. It would be a one-time implementation. And then going forward, as new people were hired, they would move through the steps as long as the schedule is updated annually. So this would just be a one-time thing to get everyone where they are in the steps based on their years of service. And then going forward, once the plan is implemented, there's kind of two components that you just want to review each year. Again, you won't need to do a full-blown study, but you'll want to review positions and respond to changes. So maybe there's a position that combined with another position or took on more responsibilities, maybe went from a part-time to a full-time position. We provide the tools to the city so that you can look at that position and make changes, maybe rescore it, make sure it's in the right grade. So you're able to create new positions, adjust positions, or eliminate positions as needed within the classification plan. And then in order to keep the plan current on the compensation side, we recommend that you either do one of two things. You can survey the comparable communities and just ask them what their percent increase or what their COLA is for the year. And then you want to adjust the compensation plan annually by an average of that. You could also look at CPI. But you just want to make sure that annually you're adjusting the compensation plan so that it stays current with the market. And then the last bullet, consider pay adjustments. That would be, again, if a position changed a grade or there was a change with the position, you would need to make sure it's in the appropriate grade, or they may need a pay adjustment depending on how that position moved around or got rescored. So there's kind of two components to look at to make any necessary adjustments annually. So that's all for the presentation, kind of a brief overview. I'm happy to pull up tables 1, 2, and 3 and talk about those real quick unless there's any questions right now.
Got any questions, anybody?
No.
Guess not, ma'am.
Okay, let me just pull up. I'll pull up the report so you can look at those tables real quick and kind of talk about those since I referenced them. So this is table 1. Probably gotta make that a little bigger. There we go. So this is the classification plan that I was referencing in the presentation. One second. So you see the current job title. If there was a recommended job title change, you see that in this column here. And then again, those 6 grades that we talked about, there's no positions in grade 3, but we still leave it there just in case in the future, maybe there's a position that scores and should be in grade 3. And then the skill level goes back to those job analysis questionnaires, the interviews, all of that. So you'll see if a position scored up to 455 points, it's in grade 1. And then if it scored between 460 and 525, it's in grade 2. If it scored between 530, 595, and then so on. So positions are grouped together based on how they scored, focusing on that internal equity. Then table 2 kind of pulls together that classification piece and the compensation piece. So again, the job title, the skill level, the grade. And then here's the salary data for each position from those comparable communities. And then this is GovHR's proposed salary range for each position at the 50th percentile. So positions that score similarly. So for instance, these 3 positions all in grade 5, the proposed salary range for those positions are all the same. And same with grade 1, you have 3 positions in grade 1, there's the proposed salary range. And then table 3, this shows the 10 steps. So step A would be the minimum. There's that 3.25% increase between each step all the way to the maximum over here. So that's kind of a summary of everything, but happy to pull up anything or answer any questions at this time.
Any questions?
Or if you don't have any now and you have some later, that's okay too.
Can we get a copy of that?
That was one of them. Yeah. Can we get these copies of these so we can look at them better?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah,
I hadn't sent them out yet because they were still draft versions. But...
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to have it in front of me. Look at.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if there are questions that come up, you know, Clint, just let me know and we can work through those. But thank you for letting me present on that. And I'll be here if you have any questions.
You got a question, John?
Yes, Ms. Skaggs. Would it be possible if... if I were to get your contact information from Clint, that you're going to email me both your presentation and also those that information as well.
And he, Clint, you could probably email it to them too, right? So either way, whatever is easier.
Yep. That's fine.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. All right. I'll hop off unless you need me for anything else.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
you.
Have a good night. You too. Merry Christmas. We'll move down to reports. How's the new doctor doing, Paul?
But 70% of it has been the flu. We haven't had a large outbreak of COVID or any variant of that sort yet. So
good.
Let's hope our community is well vaccinated and during the holidays,
everybody stays safe.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And of course, we're preparing right now for the same weather event that the city is preparing for. So
okay. Thank you. The other subject that I got this evening is the short-term rentals that people have been inquiring about. We've had some inquiries in the residential area, and we already got some ABNBs already established in the community, which is not zoned correctly. So we need to discuss on what we are going to do with it. Your city attorney said that Lincoln does not allow it in residential area, but they have it in the uptown historic area. And we need to make a decision on if we want to have it uptown here and not in residential. We'd have to have a ordinance specifying that, John.
Well, right now, as I understand it, your code doesn't provide for this type of activity with areas that are currently zoned residential. And I don't have my laptop in front of me tonight to look to verify that, but I'm just going off the top of my head here.
Okay.
But if it doesn't provide for it, then it's simply not allowed. In which case, we could proceed ordinance violation cases against them, you know, for their violation in that regard. I know Lincoln, they allow it on the second floor, and I believe in some instances the first floor, they've allowed it. I think here, in Clinton, as I understand it, it would only be allowed in the second floor.
Right.
Not on the first floor. There can't be any living arrangements on the first floor. You guys can put something more proactive within your city code to outline definitively. However, if you go on the air B&amp;B website. And I'm not the expert on Airbnb by any extent of the imagination, but I do believe there are provisions within Airbnb that state that those that look to avail themselves of Airbnb have to make sure that it's allowed within their local municipality. And I don't think, if I can recall, there have been any inquiries. I believe the people just opened up shop. Right. And maybe they thought that if they didn't expressly forbid it within the city code, that they would be allowed. But typically, my experience is, if you look to your zoning code, if you're not one of the listed items, okay, then you're not allowed. And I, again, I don't have my laptop in front of me, I don't have my city code here, so I hate to speak out of turn if it does say there, but from what I can, what I've previously, when I looked, I didn't see it there. So it's well within your discretion to do as such if you'd like to. Put more some definitive language in there that's not allowed. But like I said, typically, you know, when you have items listed under the city code, usually they're listing items that are allowed as opposed to not, you know. And then the other areas will specify as such as well. So I don't know how many of these Airbnbs you currently have within your residential district. I don't know if there is a worry that more are coming, but if you're worried that somebody might be quote-unquote grandfathered in, I don't think that is a worry you should entertain, because, again, if the code doesn't provide for it, that they're allowed use, then they're simply not allowed, and there shouldn't be an expectation that they can continue operation, even if you do add language that more definitively states that they're not allowed. So.
Okay.
So our first step is we should probably update the code to what the majority's wishes are.
Yes. But I believe if you're going to be amending your zoning code, I believe that has to go before your planning commission first. So there would have to be a meeting with the planning commission. If the planning commission is looking to update your zoning ordinances to change up as to what is specifically listed there. So there need to be a planning commission meeting first.
Do you have any idea if any other smaller towns around are allowing it?
I cannot tell you.
Just Lincoln.
I can't tell you off the top of my head how many other instances where that's allowed. Now, I have seen some home rule municipalities where there have been residential. For example, I believe Bloomington Normal, within their residential area, they have Airbnbs. In fact, you can go on the website and find them there. And they provide it, and they're allowed. So it really kind of depends on the community and what they want, so to speak. And their respective needs. If you look to Bloomington Normal, they have two colleges. They have State Farm. They have various factories, you know, from which people might want to come in, so go to a graduation and whatnot. Here in Clinton, you don't have those respective let's say colleges, or so therefore your needs would be a bit different, and whether or not you would like to entertain, you know, an Airbnb within your residential district is perfectly within your purview to decide. It's within each respective community's, you know, needs and wants. So it just depends upon what you guys are liking, because, you know, sometimes I can understand also the perspective that perhaps individuals don't want, or neighboring individuals to those Airbnbs are uncomfortable with the aspect of just new people showing up, you know, on a practically weekly / daily basis, that whoever they have no idea who they are. Which, again, on the other side of that respective of that argument, then most people that, you know, buy houses don't have to get their neighbor's approval, you know, to do as such. So there's two sides to every argument. It just depends on what you guys want to do. But again, it would have to go before the planning commission first.
So we probably need to get a consensus.
Do some more research for us for next meeting.
Yeah, I can certainly do as such. And if you guys are also vested and interested in regards to Airbnbs in your residential district, you're also free to look to other communities as well as, while I do the same, so.
I mean, I've never stayed at Airbnb, there's no restrictions on length of stay or nothing in those, or?
Well, there is a certain extent, I mean, I don't know, again, I don't know Airbnb, but Illinois state statute states that, you know, the hotel motel rules that Airbnb, they don't specify Airbnb in the state statute. There's kind of a catch-all provision from which they kind of insert themselves. And it's within 30 days, you know, it's usually 30 days or less, where you can avail yourself of the certain protections of hotel motel. And I believe, as I understand this question might have been initially raised, is that whether or not we were even collecting a tax off the Airbnb for this, the hotel motel tax from the Airbnbs, which they should be paying if they exist here. And which is why I think this, how this conversation got started is, like, well, how many Airbnbs do we have and how many of them are not paying that tax, and then whether or not they're even in the proper areas. So, yes, 30 days or less. I'm not a hotel connoisseur. I don't know many people that get a hotel room in excess of 30 days. I know that they exist, but I don't think they exist officially on the books, so to speak. But, yeah, I don't know what does happen. So, but technically the way the state statute reads is 30 days or less.
Okay, thank you. We'll move down to streets and public improvement.
Just a couple of things. Of course, everybody knows we've got a possible major storm coming. Just remind everybody that after 2-inch snowfall, we'll act the emergency snow routes. We ask people on those routes especially to get their cars off the streets, and hopefully in the secondary roads they can get the cars off as much as possible to help us out. And we are shorthanded still, and I ask everybody please be patient with us. We'll get to you as quick as we can. And then I've seen on my, also I've seen in my box where Cheryl put in a note that Marion Bizard is resigning at the end of the month. I'd just like to say thank her very much for all the hard work she put in. So.
Is that it?
That's it.
Public property.
I don't have a whole lot. They did get started taking lime out of lagoons, and they're doing a really good job of that. They've got a different way. It used to be we had to wait till it was really good and dry. They'd reach down and dig it out and put it into trucks, and it seemed like it always was getting a mess on the streets. And Kenny can vouch for it. We'd have to have them come and clean the streets. And the way they do it now is they make a slurry, suck it out with big suction hoses, put it right in a tanker, and you don't see anything. There's nothing on the streets. It just really, and it cleans it out a lot better. Before, they would actually take some of the sides of the lagoons out. When they're cleaning it, they would, you know, you just can't dig it out without taking out part of the dirt. And it was narrowing up what was in between the two. Now we're not having that issue because they're just sitting off to the edges and slurrying it and getting it out of there. So that's a good thing. That's a lot better than what it used to be. So I'm happy with the people that do it. The last couple of years, they've really done a good job. The guys, same way. They're still working as a combined unit, the street department, the water department, all working together, and I'm sure that's what they'll be doing with the snow removal the same, but, you know, you just got to be a little patient, and sometimes you just don't get to it immediately, but I think we do a pretty good job. I've been in a lot of places after major snowstorms that are a lot worse than what we are. They get to it pretty quickly, and I appreciate it, and I know Ben and all the guys go out on any kind of emergencies. Fire department's always out there. I don't know if anybody's ever been stranded or not been able to get to with the ability that we have and the guys that are out there working. So I appreciate that part of it, and I hope we can get through this and have a really pleasant Christmas without too much of a problem with the cold and the snow. So other than that, that's all I have.
Health and safety.
I got a couple of things. The fire department was, each fire department in DeWitt County was awarded a Lucas device to aid in CPR. It does the chest compressions for us. Each fire department was awarded one, and three for the ambulance through money that came from the county. The county purchased them for us at a cost of $22,200 a piece. and we actually have been using it lately. We don't want to use it ever, but we have. And where we normally have four or five people standing in line to perform CPR, this machine did it all by itself, and that left four or five guys available to get everything else ready to make the job more efficient. So thank the county board for seeing that and getting everybody one of those. Also, we had an instance come up out to the cemetery. We had some plots out there that ended up having a tree planted in the middle of them. And I got with Cameron and Lloyd, and they went out and took the tree down, and it's all ready. So thanks them guys for getting out there and getting that done, because it was spur of the moment when we had to do it. Ben, you got anything?
I don't have anything tonight.
Steven, you got anything? That's all I got.
Okay. Council Finance.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay, we'll move down to unfinished business. We've got an order authorizing the execution of the annexation agreement.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1571, ordinance authorizing execution of annexation agreement.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Discussion? If not, call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Thrulich?
Yes. Next is petition for annexation.
Motion to approve petition for annexation.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Thrulich?
Yes. Next, the ordinance annexing certain territories to the city of Clinton.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1572, an ordinance annexing certain territory to the city of Clinton, Illinois, Totten property.
I'd also make that motion.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Thrulich?
Yes. Next is the bid for the grinding at the waste yard.
Motion to approve the grinding and hauling of brush, $12,800, and the grinding and hauling of leaves, $17,600, for a total amount of $30,400.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is, we're trying to get back to the two grindings that yours didn't get such a big pile. So this will be the second one of this year, so.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Thrulich?
Yes. Next is the purchase of printers for the police department.
Motion to approve the purchase of a printer copier for the police department from Watts Copy Systems in the amount of $4,271.50.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Thrulich?
Yes. That concludes our...
Before we close out, because I have time to think. You gave me time to think while we were talking here. The Airbnbs, I guess, I didn't realize that we had them. Mm-hmm. This is the first I've even heard of it. I know that the county had a few issues out around the lake. And just like we did a survey and talked to people about golf carts and all that, now that this is an issue that has been brought up and it's forward, if there is people that are wanting to do this, shouldn't they be coming forward to us in these meetings and saying, you know, we are wanting to do this, or if they have been doing it and they haven't been really following the code, should they not be brought forward and give them a chance to voice their opinion just like everybody else does? Shouldn't they be able to come in here and talk to us ahead of time, say what the pros and cons are and how we can make this thing work if we wanted to? Because right now, I don't want to just rubber stamp it and say, nope, we can't do this, but we need to have some input in the people that are doing it and why. You know, there's got to be reasoning, and then we can get a better handle on how to deal with it.
Well, first we need to know what we can do, because they're going to come in and ask you, what is your thoughts?
Well, so we can't. Basically, what I was hearing, we're just going to say, no, you couldn't put them in residential. That's way what I'm hearing in my head.
Well, we need to find out what and that's our
what
options
I,
are.
That's what I'd like to see from opinions of the people that are doing it and from our legal staff and go from there.
That's fine until we know, you know, yeah, we need to know fine. How, you know, because they're going to ask you, what are you going to do to make it right? And if we don't know, then we're right back to...
I mean, I'll do my due diligence. You know, I'll do the research, but I mean, these if we were to have a planning commission meeting, there's going to be public notice that's going to go out, from which case all the constituents of the city of Clinton would have notice. And, you know, like I said, I'll do the research, but keep in mind that the people who are currently operating these Airbnbs, the residential areas, didn't come forth. They just opened up shop, started collecting money, and didn't pay any tax money. So I'm also not exactly
yeah, they didn't do their due diligence.
Yeah, give them a free pass, but you know, we got to know both sides also, I think.
Like I said, I'll do more research, but you know, and then you guys can have your respective meetings and make your decisions. So it's not my decision, it'll be your guys's.
Well, I'm pretty sure after tonight's meeting, the ones that are doing it already are going to know by media, so they're going to be put on alert right now.
And that would be good, because we need to let them know that this isn't going to stand, but then we need to know how we're going
to
do it.
Make another function available to some people that need it, they would like it, but then also you want to protect the integrity of the R1 area, too.
Okay, that's all I had.
Yeah,
question.
It was brought up because we had inquiries, so we just got to start from the beginning and go from there.
Okay.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Call the roll.
Weiss.
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Srelick.
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Over. Christmas party's not.